Yeah, and if you are watching online, let us know where you're watching from. Go ahead and post a prayer request or a praise. Maybe even share what you might be doing for the Lenten season. And we are going to be trying some new things here tonight with our Ash Wednesday service and kicking off the Lenten season, including Andrea is going to back me up, right? We're doing it. We are kicking it old school. If we only had an organ, we would have wheeled it out. But I asked Andrea, I said, could you just, you know, just back me up, help me out. So we're going to have some fun with it. What do you think? You guys on board? I told you they'd be on board. I mean, they're not like overwhelmed on board, but you're on board. I can take this off now. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take this off now. Andrea's going to back me up. I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to have a great night here, friends. Heavenly Father, it is good to be in your house. Man, you know, sometimes I feel like when the snow comes and things look like they're going to push up against us, that's when the best things happen. So God, may the best things happen tonight. May you be in the room. May your spirit touch every one of our lives. May every man, woman, and child here in this place and watching online be touched, changed, moved. May we get encouragement if we're feeling discouraged. May we get a kick in the seat if we need a kick in the seat to ramp things up for this Easter season. If we need a word of insight, if we need a door to open, if we need a breakthrough in our life, Lord, we know that you will provide all that we stand in need of. Lord, because you are our all in all. You are everything. And we do see, like we just proclaimed, the goodness, the evidence of your goodness all over our lives, all over your world, all over this church, Lord. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, I had quite the ordeal getting here. I was home and I got the best black ashes ever. We made a fire in the fireplace this morning before I came here to work. And then I crushed them all up and they were just black as night. And then the snow was falling, so I went out to scrape the car. You know where this is going. And I started it up and then I'm like, Robin, let's go. And she's like, all right, I gotta grab this. And then I forgot them. And then I got here and I was like, Robin, we need ashes. So she grabbed some pencils and she grabbed some paper and she grabbed an old wastebasket and we got ashes, people. They're not the best, but that's all right. That's all right. I also have some crosses here for you. If you wish, after the service, take these small wooden crosses. A dear friend of mine named Gary made like 500 of these for me a couple years ago, and I just keep giving them out until they're all gone, and then I'm gonna go and ask them for some more. So maybe tonight is the night that they'll all be gone. This would be a beautiful reminder of Easter, just to carry this in your pocket. He drilled a little hole in there, and you could put it around your neck if you want. And that's a beautiful thing. Those are available for you to be a reminder of what the season is all about. Speaking of the season, who here, you are old school, all in Ash Wednesday, Lenten season. I'm on board. I love it. I'm there. I do it every year. Who's there? All right, a couple of you there. Who would say, I'm kind of a newcomer. I'm a newcomer. I get it, but all right, I'm down with the Ash Wednesday Lenten thing. Who would say you're there? All right. Who is like, I showed up and you better do something awesome here or else I'm never coming. So who here is like, I'm brand new to this? All right, Jeff, my friends, I'm going to win you over. I'm here to win you over. No, it's not on me. It's all on Jesus. He's going to win you over to this. I was a latecomer to it. I grew up in a tradition that made much of Jesus, made much of Christmas, made much of Easter, made much of our Lord and following Christ, of course. But I was also, and I've shared this story before, I was one of those weird kids that, you know, never rebelled, kind of went all in, gave my life to Jesus, read my Bible, wanted to go to a Christian school, wanted to go into ministry. Yeah, I was the weird one. So, but praise be the Lord for weird ones, I guess. And so as I grew in my faith and I began to talk to more Christians and meet more Christians and travel around and read more, I did get turned on to the church calendar, kind of a rhythm of life where you actually say, I want to be so countercultural in a sense. So for the Lord, so given to the Lord that I'm going to actually think about my life not by the Gregorian calendar, you know? I mean, nothing wrong with that. We kind of live our lives by that. But what if I started to live my life by a rhythm around the church, around the ministry of Jesus Christ, around the work of God. I got really excited about that. So I kind of live in my, kind of admittedly now with my feet in at least two worlds. I kind of love this ancient world of church history and church tradition, different ways that people have sought to faithfully serve the Lord and grow in their faith, and yet wanting to be fully online. And we're on YouTube. You can't get much more modern than that, I think. I mean, so this is kind of a bridging of worlds, what we're experiencing here. But for the Christian, aren't we always bridging two worlds? I mean, really, we live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but we know we're not fully in that kingdom here and now. Christ has yet to return. Obviously, the marks of the fall and sin are still evident around us. And yet again, we're holding hope that our souls, our lives, our eternity is already secure in Jesus Christ. So we're always kind of living in two different worlds. And I think this is kind of an outworking. This is a bit of an expression of that life in two worlds, the life that we're in, the life that we're looking forward to, the tension that we now have. And Lent really highlights that. So again, I'm praying we all can have an amazing, amazing Lent here in 2021. I'm going to read for us Psalm 103. This is one of the classic, you would say, psalms that bring us into the Lenten season, and particularly on Ash Wednesday, for reasons that will make themselves evident when we get to verse 14. But it's going to be a big reading till we get to 14. So again, here is where I'm trusting that all of us who come out on a snowy night to something called Ash Wednesday to kick off something like Lent, that I don't have to soft pedal for you here, you know? I can trust that you're all in, so you can hear God's word, and sometimes just hearing God's word is enough. You know, it does not need to be puffed up or, you know, just embellished in any way. God's word can and does speak for itself. So we're going to have a big reading here tonight. I will pause throughout it to give some reflections as we go through. And we're going to let it speak for itself. And I'm trusting that if you're here with open hearts and open minds and welcoming the Spirit in your life, it will just speak to you. God's word will do that, in fact. But let me introduce it here for just a second. Verse 14 is going to become, again, evident why this is an Ash Wednesday psalm. But as we start reading it, let me pose the question to you. Let me set the stage here for you. Are you speaking to yourself or are you listening to yourself? Deep thoughts by Pastor George, right? But think about that for just a moment. We all have an inner voice. I do make reference to it a lot, the words we are hearing in our head, repeating. But I want to clarify that a little bit right now. Whenever we're listening to ourselves, maybe we're saying bad things. We're saying negative things. Maybe we're beating ourselves up. I find that the more I talk about not being a narcissist, but the fact that my life has been more plagued with feelings of insecurity and inadequacy, of failure, of defeat, of being fallen, of being sinful, of not feeling worthy, I find it resonates with more people than not. So I know when I listen to my voice, it doesn't always speak good things over me and over my life. And sometimes, frankly, I have to tell it to shut up. I think the Psalms are going to help us learn how to speak into our lives, to maybe sometimes turn that voice off that we're listening to that might be repeating a defeat, negative words said about us, something we wish we did differently, a season in life, a moment that just is playing on that eternal, confounded loop in our head. And the Psalms are going to keep teaching us, how do you speak into your life? How do you speak over your life? How do you speak things of God over your life? Because that's exactly where the psalmist starts. And so I'm going to start there, because these are the words that the psalmist is now teaching us to speak into our lives. And here's what he says. I'll have to try and navigate the multiple things here that I do, the technology and, where am I at here? Sorry, I'm on the slides there for music. There we go. All right. So here's where he says, this is what he's speaking over himself. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. He's not just listening to an inner voice there. He's speaking over it. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I am going to tell my soul. I'm going to tell my inner being. I'm going to tell my heart. It's phrased in different ways throughout the Psalms and throughout the scriptures. But when you get to that core part of you, that is you, that eternal you, he's saying, praise the Lord. I will speak praise of the Lord from my inmost being. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh my goodness, you're about to learn the lesson of life right now. Do not forget the good things that he has already done in your life. Do not forget them. Write them down, rehearse them, praise them, celebrate them. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. You are forgiven. You can be healed from the worst disease of all, the disease of the fall that separates you from the relationship with God that you were made for. That can be healed in your life. And sometimes people do get healed. Sometimes we pray for somebody with cancer and it goes away. Sometimes we pray for somebody who is sick and they get better. Not always, but never forget when it does. Never forget when it does. Because sometimes he steps in and he works miracles. I wish it happened more, I'll be honest. But he has. And never forget. Never forget when he is healed. But then it goes further. That sort of gets you on the even playing ground. All right, I'm not in sin and I'm not sick anymore. Okay, I'm back on like steady ground. Well, let's go further. Four. Where am I at there? Four. I got the right one. Oh, mercy. This is hard for me. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He's not just gonna wipe away the slate of sin. He's not just gonna heal you to bring to health. He wants to redeem your life from the pit. He now wants to lift you up and take you to someplace higher. It's pretty awesome. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, how many times were you just gonna see that beautiful imagery of the eagle? How many countries pick like the eagle as like their symbol? I mean, the US obviously, Mexico, I just saw that, realized the eagle is on there. It seems like everybody. Now I'm drawing a blank, but I feel like I see eagles everywhere. Everybody loves that. You renew your youth, so your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. That's a good word. I'm gonna keep going. This could take forever if I keep preaching. The Lord is, made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. This is how specific the remembering is getting. I'm gonna remember a time when God's people cried out for help and God, you did something. Because that's gonna give me faith that maybe in my own little prison, my own little slavery, my own little captivity, whatever's happening in my life, God, you can hear a cry for help and bring me out of it. Don't forget the work of God in the past. All right, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. 9. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Just tell me to stop at some point, because the fact that he does not treat us as, if we got what we deserved, if you got what you deserved, what would you get in life? What would any of us get in life? I'm getting the hand motions back there from Gabe. Amen. I mean, no. No, we know. We know. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Praise be to God. If that's all that ever happened in our life, that would be enough to glorify him for all eternity. For all of eternity. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, this is so good. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And here is our verse 14, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. I'm just gonna read through the rest of it here for us and give some more reflections. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. 16, the wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels. Let me just stop. I'm going to get four praises here. All of creation. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Right back to where we started. You're going to see that over and over and over in the Psalms as we study them throughout this year, bringing it all back together. What are we speaking over our lives? We can tell our lives. We can direct our lives. We can aim our lives to the praise, to the glory, to the honor, to the worship, to the works of God. That is the promise. That is the hope. That is what we have in this psalm for us. I'm just going to put 14, if I can get this right here, on the screen so we can sort of have that hovering over us for the duration here of our service. Of course, we all know the one and only Ash Wednesday joke, right? No, you don't know the only, there's one Ash Wednesday joke in existence and you're about to get it. It's awful, I'm telling you right now, prepare to groan in just a moment. You don't know this one? Oh man. So the old school preacher was getting ready for the Ash Wednesday service. And of course he loved to preach from the King James Version. So he's going through Psalm 103 in the good old King James. And when he got to verse 14, he declared, "For he knoweth our frame and he knoweth we are but dust." And then a little voice called out, "Mom, what's but dust?" I warned you how bad it was. You could have left the room. You could have exited stage right. I told you. It being the only Ash Wednesday joke in existence, it must be told. I've been having this conversation the past couple days as we announced we are having an Ash Wednesday service and that we would be celebrating Lent. And anybody that has a history of Lent knows that part and parcel with a Lenten season goes giving up things. What are you going to give up for Lent is the way it goes. But immediately, and I think I had this conversation with three different people. I'm not in the mood to give up anything. I feel like I've already lost a lot. And I was like, that is so unspiritual of you. You better just buck up. No. I was like, I hear you 100%. I am not really in the mood to give much up right now. I feel like I've already lost too much to this spiritual battle and this physical battle that is COVID and what we're still going through. There, I decided to pull up the stats. It looks like one out of every 750 people that have died from COVID or with COVID, they argue about it, they debate about it, but it is undeniable. People have died. That's a big loss. Students have lost whole semesters, whole years. They've lost graduations. They've lost proms. They've lost dances. Athletes have lost whole seasons. And you know that. I mean, families have lost birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, trips, adventures canceled, put on hold indefinitely. Jobs have been lost. Income has been lost. Savings have been lost. Hope has been lost. Can we give up anything else? Is there anything else that we can give up, God? Is there anything else that we should give up? Really, haven't we lost enough already, God? Isn't it time that we get something? So as I've talked with people, I've said, you absolutely don't. I'm going to go into preacher mode. Is that all right for a moment? Yes, please preach to us, George. Sometimes I have to encourage myself, you know. So I'm speaking over myself. Did you see what I just did there? Full circle. So my answer is, you don't have to give up anything at Lent, because there's a sense that you don't have anything left to give up if you're a Christian. You see, if you're a Christian, you already gave everything up for Jesus Christ. And if you didn't, you may have been sold a false bill of goods. I do think a lot of sincere, loving people that are open to the Lord, they get sold a bit of that false bill of goods, that Christianity is really just an addition to your life. It's a blessing to your life. It's something you put in and on your life, and then your life gets better. There's an element of truth. There's an angle of truth to that, but that's not the full truth, friends. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You gave your life to Jesus, and it doesn't belong to you anymore. Your time isn't yours anymore. Your income isn't yours anymore. Your family isn't yours anymore. Your hopes and your dreams, your goals, they're not yours anymore. You gave them all to Jesus Christ when you gave your life to him. See, when you called on him as Savior, he saved you. When you called on him as Lord, you gave it all to him. And the two go hand in glove, because he cannot be the Savior if he isn't Lord. He cannot save you if he isn't truly the Lord of all. And if he is truly the Lord of all, only he has the power to save you. So when you became a Christian, you gave it all up, friends. Can I get an amen on that? Is anybody willing to be excited about the fact that you already gave it all to Jesus? But I think you actually got the better end of the deal, because Jesus gave it all to win you to him. He gave his life on the cross. He breathed out his last. He suffered and died. He endured the nails through his hands and his feet. He endured the spear in his side that we're going to get into when we get into Good Friday and on into Easter Sunday. He gave it all. He gave up the glories of heaven to humiliate himself and come and do ministry in our world and to our lives. He gave it all up for you. He paid the ultimate price, and it hangs on him, friends. The plan of salvation is his. The plan for redemption is on his shoulders, and he has already secured victory for us. He is holding it all together, ruling and reigning at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, friends. He has already won it all, and that is why he can be Lord and Savior. And what did you get out of the deal? You get to call God your Heavenly Father. You now get to call Jesus your brother and your Savior. You now get the Holy Spirit living in your life. With the Holy Spirit living in your life, you now get the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You now get the gifts of the Holy Spirit empowering and equipping you to do works of righteousness in our fallen and broken world. You now get the fruits of the Spirit actually making you the kind of person who can have love and joy and hope and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Oh Lord, give me a little bit more of that self-control. That would help me a lot. I think you got the better end of the deal, friends. You got everything when you gave everything up to him. You got eternal treasures and glories when you just gave your miserable, wretched little life to him. And sorry, now I'm sounding like the old school preacher, but really that's what it comes down to. You got everything because of him. So what do you have left to give? In one sense, nothing. But now let's be honest. Let's be human. There is something about giving up a little bit more at different times and different ways and different seasons in our life that does help remind us that, yeah, I gave it all up to him. And that's really then what Lent is all about. Lent, just practically speaking, it just becomes this reminder for our lives, right? I'm going to give up a little something to remind me that I gave everything already to him. And I'm going to just remind myself that he gave everything for me. So what's a little sacrifice? What's a little going without? What's a little giving up going to do? Does anybody really fast too much? Are any of us really a little, you know, too? No, I'm not. I mean, you What we just give up a little bit of something in the big picture of things for that reminder, that refresher to enliven our faith. Because we understand that in order to be more filled with Jesus and his Spirit, the gifts at work in our life, the fruit growing in our lives, sometimes we just need to make space. In order for there to be more room for more of God in our life, we just, practically speaking, need to make a little bit of space. If we want a little bit more time for prayer, we may need to just spend a little less time watching TV. If we want a little bit more time in the Word, we may just need 1.5 hour less of sleep. If we want a little bit more room for meditation upon his life, maybe we just need a little less social media distracting us from our focus and our attention on him. Just getting practical. It's a season, it's a time, it's the blessing of just taking some things out so that we can make room for things that we think are a little bit more important, because we all have this incredible capacity to speak over which those things that we say are most important and then constantly get distracted by those things that we say are passing and fleeting and ultimately mean nothing. Or am I the only one? Thank you. It's always good to know the preacher isn't the only one. I can give great voice as the preacher to all these things that my life should be about. And they are about a lot of good things. I'm not going to beat myself up. But man, I can get so distracted by the things that I'm the first to say, this is just fleeting and meaningless and not even helpful, right? So let's just hunker down. And let's become more the people we say we want to be. Let's become more the people we know we want to be. Let's just get rid of some things to make room for some more things, the things of God. Now, there's a dynamic around that. Let me just say some things about that, and then we're gonna drive this home. I mean, if you got bad things in your life, absolutely make Lent the season to like get rid of it. If you are struggling with an addiction, make this a season to get rid of it. If you're struggling with pornography, make this a season to get rid of it. If you're struggling with anger, I could go on, you know that, you get it. If there's something bad in your life, there's something negative in your life, there's something crushing your life, something that's not good for you or your family or your walk with God, by all means, get rid of it. But for a lot of us, I'd like to think that we could just get rid of something that's even good for the better. Get rid of some sweets because you want the sweetness of more time and fellowship with God. Get rid of maybe drinking because you want more of that spirit, because you want more of the spirit in your life, right? Even get rid of something good for something that's better. Something that's just Jesus, more of him in our lives. Because that's the best, because he's the best. And that's what we want the most of in our lives. So back to what I was talking about. What might Lent look like for you? Well, maybe you'll give up a couple thoughts I had. Maybe give up social media and spend that time memorizing a scripture every day. I'll be posting a scripture every day for the Lenten season. There you go, set it to memory. Maybe you want to give up music that doesn't glorify God for music that glorifies God. So maybe just for the next 40 days, say literally only praise and worship music. We make a playlist on Spotify's Connections Church. If you don't know what else to listen to, just listen to what we put out. It's all good. Maybe you want less material food because you want more spiritual food. So set aside some time in fasting and spend that time reading the Bible. There's other thoughts, but I'll let you be processing that on your own. Making space for the best, for the eternal, for the things of God. What am I giving up? This could sound weird, but I started with that saying, you don't have to give up anything. I'm just gonna tell a little bit about my story that maybe it will help you process and think about what you're going to do. Doing a time check. Oh, I got all kinds of time. I can preach for another hour. Just kidding. I'm not giving up fasting this year because fasting is easy for me. I fast all the time. I've been fasting for years. I've preached about fasting. I like fasting for spiritual reasons. I like fasting for environmental and economic reasons. I like fasting for spiritual reasons. But lately, and I've mentioned this, and I'm going to tell you, my friends, because this is the friendliest of all audiences, I've been having a lot of stomach pain lately. And I frankly don't know why. My default has been to fast. I have gone almost days without eating because I'm literally afraid to eat. So fasting's easy for me. I don't know why. I'm clearly a majority. I don't have to eat and I'm fine. But I'm finding if I snack throughout the day, I do better. It was very weird for me to actually tell Kim here in the office. I was like, Kim, I don't have lunch. I need to go and I need to eat. So I need to leave and go eat because I'm afraid if I don't get something in my belly, I might get sick later when I do eat. So I don't know. Something is going on in my life right now. But what it's telling me in Lent is, George, if you give up fasting, like you, I mean, if you fast like you've always done, you're doing nothing for me. So what are you going to do for me? I'm not going to go into that. Maybe I'll get into that later here in the Lenten season. But you need to spend some time, and that time could be right now. So this is now the invitation. The time can be right now. And believe that God can speak into your life and tell you the thing that you should do to make more room in your life for him. And it doesn't have to be profound and new and novel and nobody else has ever thought this thing up before. I'm going to go without, you know, because... No, you do not have to rethink this. Because again, this is an ancient practice that has simply invited us to give up something, even something good, for something that is better. So you can go to the classics and it can be profoundly effective in your life. You could just give up sweets and ask for more of the sweetness of the Spirit in your life. You could give up alcohol and just ask for more of the Spirit in your life. You could fast for a day each week and you could spend that time in deeper prayer and meditation and Bible study each week. You don't have to reinvent this wheel. You could just go to some of the tried and true practices, make a little space for your life and see how God can come into that void and fill you with more of his presence. So you take the time you need right now. Oh, what was the other thing I was going to mention? Oh, my wife, pray for her. She's going to get up a half an hour earlier. I'm saying it publicly just because I know it always helps. She's going to get up a half an hour earlier for more time in God's word. Oh, I hope I can do that with her, but I'm not making any promises. So there you go. So you just figure out what you're going to do, what you're going to do for Jesus, for your faith this coming season. With that said, one of the classic ways to enter into the Lenten season is reading Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 comes from the Sermon on the Mount. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to read it here for you, where Jesus pushes us from outward religion to personal piety. And you're going to hear that word piety in the reading. There's nothing wrong with being religious. I kind of, you know, get a burr in my saddle when people are like, I'm not religious, I'm a Christian, I'm in a relationship. I'm like, yeah, but you know, you go to church and you go to Bible study and you give money and you serve. That looks kind of religious. So I never think it's fair to say like we're not religious. There's nothing wrong with being religious. We should be religious. But what should undergird our religious practice is always our piety, our personal walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what he's pointing us to in Matthew chapter 6. So again, what you're about to get here now is a very classic reading for Ash Wednesday that is inviting us to a deeper walk with Jesus. Here's what he says. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So there you go. Don't try and make a big show of your giving, but we should give. Then he says this, "And whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So maybe you just want to shut your door and pray for a little bit the next 40 days. "And whenever you fast, don't look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So there you go. Don't make blog posts and Instagram posts about how ripped you are because you're fasting. Just fast. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that really is what Lent is an invitation for us to do. For the next 40 days, as we look towards the cross of Jesus Christ, as we aim towards that final week when we will bear witness to his betrayal, his crucifixion, his death, and his burial, as we will so eagerly await to shout, "He is risen," on Easter morning, we turn ourselves toward the cross now. And for the next 40 days, we seek to put our treasure more and more into Jesus, into the things of God, the one who, to whom our lives already belong if we've called on him as Lord and Savior, the one who paid the steeper price for our blessing and benefit, the one who offers us eternal life. Psalm 103 told us, "As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." And so Ash Wednesday is in our invitation to remember that from the dust of the ground we are formed, to the dust of the ground we will return. But what hangs in the middle until Christ comes again, until we are raised in glory and are a part of his resurrection, that it is the Spirit of God, that breath of life, that makes us his image bearers and that makes us his own. So we call on him to turn these bodies of dust into the very image bearers of God and children of our Heavenly Father. And so that's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to invite the band to come up and they're going to give us a little traveling music. I'm going to double mask up. Double mask, super safe. I'm going to put on a glove. I'm going to come around to each one of you. If you want me to come to you, simply stand up. Don't come to me, just stand up. And I will come to you and I will put the sign of the cross on your head. Yeah, it's crazy. It's weird. It's also kind of wonderful. Just to remember that we have been marked by Jesus Christ and belong to him. And then you can go home and wash it off before you go to bed because otherwise it'll get all over your pillowcase and that's no fun. But it's just a powerful moment. It can be a powerful reminder that we belong body and soul and life and in death, not to ourselves, but to our faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who calls us his own. Let me say a prayer. That would give the band a time to get ready. And then if you want the sign of the cross, I will come to you, friends.